Brian, y'all.
Hello.
Is this thing on?
Hello.
All right. I'm Brian. I'm an alcoholic. So I don't really know what I'm going to talk about, but, I see, like you said, a lot of young people here. And one of the things that I'd just like to say is, like, you're light years ahead of where you would be if you were still drinking. You know, it's like, I don't think we really have to figure anything out here, but the fact that we're sober, it's like opportunities will just present themselves. Doors will open. And, it's this whole panel topic is, it's kind of funny because it's like your career is like such a small part of what matters, you know? And so, my story is a little bit, well, it started when I was younger. Basically, like, my parents, they split up when I was 6 months old, and my mom, she was, like, a hippie, like, crazy, no rules, free spirit. And then my dad was, like, he owned his own business, and he was, like, structure and rules and morality and conservatism. And basically, like, I grew up with these two households that were polar opposite, and I'd be one way at mom's house and one way at dad's house. And I learned how to put on like two faces, you know? And so what I learned from that was like I could lie and manipulate and get what I wanted by acting a certain way, but I could be this other person in reality, right? So my story is a lot different than your guys's in the sense that like, I was driven, I wanted like the things that my dad had, so I knew I needed to do really well in school. And so I got like perfect grades like while I was doing drugs and drinking. And so I moved from Southern California to upstate New York. I went to this Ivy League university and was getting straight A's. And meanwhile, I was drinking and using every day. And I just thought like, well, obviously I'm not an alcoholic, you know? Like, I had this thing where it's like, I mean, by the time I finally got sober in 2014, and I first came to AA in 2010, but by the time I finally got sober, I'd been arrested somewhere between 10 and 15 times. I'd been hospitalized, stomach pumped 5 times. I accidentally hit a nurse in the face. I'm sorry about that. She didn't press charges, so I didn't need your legal advice, but, like, I had all this stuff, but I could always point to, like, the schooling. I could always point to, you know, after I graduated, I got this, like, really good job. I could point to that, and my life's not unmanageable. Like, I had my own definition of what an alcoholic was, and I conveniently didn't fit into that definition. It was like, an alcoholic was that guy down by the bridge, drinking out of a paper bag, like, didn't have anything going on in his life. And, meanwhile, like, my family, I'd like to say, like, all my close friends wanted to help me out, but I didn't really have close friends. They didn't give a shit, you know, like, they were just drinking and using the way I was. But I did have some family members that were trying to get me into rehab. And, it seems like a common story that, like, people go to those things because, like, you know, that show Intervention, like, well, if I don't go, like, they're going to take the money away, right? Well, like, I didn't have that problem. Like, not to boast or whatever. Like, I inherited a bunch of money from my mom, which I proceeded to gamble away. But, I had this job, right? And no matter what, I knew, like, this thing was coming in. And so there was no way that my dad or my aunt was going to tell me, like, you need to go take a vacation and, like, go to rehab. I was like, nah, I'm going to keep going to this job, you know, because I gotta maintain this dual life of, like, looking good over here but being a fucking train wreck over here. So what actually finally happened was, I was, like, 21 years old, and I was sick a lot. Like, have you guys ever, like, written an email? I don't know if you have, but like I used to like write an email, be like, yo, I'm not gonna make it into work tomorrow, and I'd forget about that email. So I'd call him in the morning and be like, hey, like, I'm not gonna make it into work today. And they're like, yeah, we know. Like, we got your email. You know? Or, like, sometimes I would just not do that at all. I just wouldn't show up, you know? And that's not ideal. And so, basically, I worked at this small, it was like a hedge fund at the time, but it's turned into a finance company. But, like, I worked at a small company, and there was this dude who, he would leave work every day, like clockwork, at 2 o'clock. And he called me into his office, and he was like, I'd showed up to work again like 3 hours late, and he called me into his office, closed the door, and he was like, so do you want to talk about what's really going on here? And I had just applied some makeup to black eye, you know, and so I was looking like, I mean, I'm sure I was looking pretty good. it had worked before, you know, but he's like, you want to talk about what's really going on? And he said, do you know where I go every day at 2 o'clock? And I said, I think you go to A&A. And yeah, I have no idea what that is. But someone had, like, you know, talked shit about him to some extent. Like, yeah, he goes to A&A. And I was like, okay. Anyways, he was like, do you want to go with me? And what I thought he had asked was, do you want to keep your job? And I was like, fuck, yeah, let's check that out. Check out that A&A meeting. So we start going, and the problem was, like, I am an alcoholic, so I started relating with you guys right away. I heard your stories, and I was like, yeah, that's me. You guys started talking about, like, what alcoholism actually is, you know, that it centers in the mind. It's this mental obsession that once I take a drink, I can't turn that off. And so the first step, like the whole powerlessness concept, that was easy. Like, I mean, I remember, like, talking to, you know, friends. Like, I'd go to Burning Man. This was the first Burning Man I went after I tried to get sober. It was like, this dude was like, hey, we had just dropped some acid, done some Molly, and, like, this dude was like, do you want a drink? And I was like, no, I don't drink. and he was like, oh, well, why? I was like, well, I don't know what's gonna happen, you know? And he was like, that's the point, you know? I was like, oh yeah, I forgot, so I drank. But yeah, I don't know, like, the thing was, I had no idea what was going on. I related with the alcoholism, like the powerlessness, but the unmanageability, man, I could always point to that job. I could always point to the money in the bank. I could always point to, like, this other shit that I had on the surface where I had this, like, double life of, like, it looks good, but in reality, it's a fucking train wreck. So, you know, I don't really know what happened. The whole concept of, like, you come to A and we will ruin your drinking, you know? And that's the reality. It's like, I'm just going to mention this too, just like the insanity of alcoholism. So, like, you know, I talked about losing some of that money, all of it. I was going to be an entrepreneur too. I'm just going to tie into all your guys' things here. So I was going to grow some weed. So I'm, like, working this job that was pretty demanding. I mean, 60 hours a week. I was in grad school for my MBA. And meanwhile, I was me and a friend set up a business in Alta, California, and I would drive there from Reno. It was like an hour and a half, and I would help him, and then I'd bring it to Reno, and I'm like selling. I'm going to AA meetings, talking about how I'm sober. You know, insane. And so, like, anyways, just this thing finally catches up with you. You know what I mean? And, like, but for the grace of God, like, nothing terrible happened. It should have, you know? And if you're sober now, like I said, like, you're light years ahead of where you would be, right? And we're the lucky ones. Like, I believe that wholeheartedly. Got like 3 minutes. But, you know, I don't know what it was that finally, where I was like, I had had enough, you know? Like, the last time I drank, it wasn't the worst time of my life. It wasn't the best time of my life. I was just finally done, and I came to this realization that, like, best case scenario, I'm just gonna end up in AA, you know? And that's what I tell people I work with, like, sponsees. I'm like, you know, best case scenario, you're just gonna end up here anyways, right? So let's just stay and like do this thing. And you know, like these last 4.5 years have been the most amazing years of my life, like without a doubt. The love of my life is sitting over there. I'm super blessed. You know, we're all blessed to be here. And but the thing that I need to keep and always keep in the back of my mind is that when things start to like look good and like we start to get our shit together and then my sobriety like doesn't become that priority anymore because I'm busy, you know, like I got shit going on. Like that's when I need to be really careful. Like I feel like every time that I relapsed in the past, it wasn't necessarily because things were going wrong. It was like things were going good. And I started taking credit for that, you know? And I got too busy to go and talk to that newcomer after the meeting. Or I got too busy to go pick somebody up and bring them to a meeting because they can't drive. Like, I got too busy for my own recovery. And so I think my message in that is that, like, yeah, this is, I guess, a cool topic or whatever. Like, we want good things in life. Like, that's great. But at the end of the day, like, the number one priority is my recovery, you know? And if I lose sight of that, I'm screwed. The job will definitely be gone. That'll be the first thing. Then, like, the important relationships, and then maybe even, like, you know, our lives. So I think that's all I got. Thank you.